Hello again, you're with the News at One. Israel's politicians have been casting doubt on an international ceasefire proposal for Lebanon, with the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu telling the military to keep fighting with full force. The plan, formulated by the United States, France and others, calls for a 21-day truce between Israel and Hezbollah. Israel says it aims to remove Hezbollah's threat and to return displaced people to their homes in the north of the country. Over the past week, it has carried out an intensive bombing campaign in Lebanon, killing almost 600 people on Monday alone. Shortly, we'll have analysis of the latest developments. First, though, these are worrying times for Lebanese people living in Ireland as they wait for news from family at home. Ali El Hadi Hamoud has been living here for 6 years, but his parents and siblings remain in Lebanon. He's been telling me about them.
My family, we originally live in the southern suburbs of Beirut, where currently it's considered not a very much of a safe zone, may I say. So I asked for help from a couple of friends of mine, and we were able to secure them a small home outside of Beirut just to be in a better or safer place, may I say.
And how are your family doing? I mean, how are they coping with the current instability?
I mean, fear is, amongst all of the emotions, is the one that is the biggest at the moment. They're very much afraid of everything that's happening. They're very much afraid of any escalation that's going to happen, unfortunately. I have two sisters and one brother. My brother is someone who's a very resilient kid. He's 23 years old. He's in his last year of university. He's dreaming of finishing his bachelor's degree and coming here to Ireland. I know him. He's a very strong guy. The first time I ever spoke to him two days ago, where I literally felt how afraid he is, and he expressed his fear of escalating and like not being able to know what to do and like what the future holds. And yeah, so like that's basically like the first thing that comes to mind, to be honest.
Are they able to live normal lives at the moment, or has all of that been put on hold?
That's, everything has been put on hold. My brother is in university, as I said, in his last year. He can't go to university because they cancelled all the classes for this week and for next week. My sister also, she works in a sports academy where they stopped all their work. So she's just staying home with my parents. Both of my parents are pensioners, so like they don't work currently. My sister is also a teacher. She teaches with the UN for Syrian and Palestinian refugees. But that also cannot happen because like the schools where she teaches are in very much of danger zones. So everything has been halted, no normal life. And yeah, they're relying a lot financially on myself.
And what's it like for you being thousands of miles away and having to make contact every day to check in to see what's happening?
Yeah, sure. Like I have regular calls with them every 3-4 hours to make sure that they're okay, to provide them the mental support that they need and try to tell them that everything's hopefully going to be okay. But unfortunately, I feel very much helpless. I mean, I'm hundreds of miles away. If I had the opportunity to fly them all over, I would have done it with a blink of an eye. But it's not the case, unfortunately, with Lebanese passports. You need a lot of visas and so on. But I'm one of the fortunate ones that I'm surrounded with a lot of great people that are supporting me mentally as well in order for me to support my family. But like if I have to say it in one word, no matter what I do, I still feel very much helpless.
Mm-hmm. There have been long links between Ireland and Lebanon, but do you find that the people you work with, I mean, do they know much about the situation there? What do they say to you?
Yeah, that brings us back to when I said, like, I'm surrounded by a bunch of amazing people. First of all, like my international colleagues and my Irish colleagues. So a lot of Irish people are very much aware of what's happening in Lebanon, given the situation with the UN and the Irish army being in Lebanon. They're all being super supportive. I can't be more grateful. I come to the office every day just like to get my mind away from everything that's happening. And like the amount of support I've been getting from people that I know and I don't know, just for the sake of me being a Lebanese person, has been something incredible. But unfortunately, I'm not being able to translate it anywhere towards my family. But for myself, it has been such a great support, and I couldn't be more grateful for the people around me.
From what you've been saying about your family, I'm thinking, and many people I'm sure will be, of your parents in particular. They must have known an awful lot of upheaval in their lives.
Yes, that is correct.
They would have lived through the Civil War and then later through 2006.
Yeah. 2006. And then, so I'm originally from the south of Lebanon. And like, for those of you who don't know, the south of Lebanon was occupied by Israel from 1982 till like mid 2000s. We were not able to visit our village at all from 1982 till 2000. My parents lived the Civil War from 1975 till 1990. After that, they lived the Liberation War till 2000, and then after that, myself and my whole family, like in 2006, we were all living in a small shed in my grandma's house back then, where like we had like four families at the same time. So we still remember 2006 very, very, very vividly, and that's what made them even more sad, unfortunately, because we remember 2006 very well, and we do not want another 2006 to happen, because that was such a big burden mentally and physically on everyone that we knew, especially my mom and my father. My father was in the army back then, so he was on the front line. So that was even worse times, unfortunately.
And that was Ali El Hadi Hamoud speaking to me a short time ago. Meanwhile, the Reuters news agency spoke to people in northern Israel to get their opinion on the possibility of a 21-day ceasefire.
They wake up in the morning and they want to shoot us. I wake up in the morning, I want to give good things to the world. What is I don't understand this.
Cities have been completely ruined. People have left their Moshavim, kibbutzim, they won't come back after it's been so long, and you know, they remember the past. People won't come back. They already moved with their kids and enlist them to different schools. Community has been disassembled. I don't know how to say that, if that's the correct word. So no, I don't think we should wait 21 more days.
No, I think that we must to finish with this problem with the Hezbollah and also with Gaza. We must to finish with this, for not for the people there, but for the government, for the man that we must to finish with this.
Some voices from northern Israel. Joining us is Professor Lina Khatib. She's director of the Middle East Institute at the School of Oriental and African Studies at the University of London. Thanks for talking to us this lunchtime. Various Israeli ministers have said there shouldn't be a ceasefire, but has the country given an official response to this proposal?
No official response yet. Prime Minister Netanyahu, in fact, has told the army to carry on fighting Hezbollah, and therefore we can read this as a de facto rejection of the calls for a ceasefire.
What's known about what's being proposed?
Well, what is being proposed is relatively vague in the sense that no set terms have been put in place for what the ceasefire would actually look like in detail. However, it is a call for an immediate ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah for 21 days. The hope, of course, is that if they agree to this, then, you know, the details would be worked out during this time, and this could then be extended, and then it would be indefinite. This method has been used in previous contexts before, but currently Hezbollah has also not responded. It also keeps attacking Israel, and so I think neither party seems to be interested in a ceasefire at this time.
There has been a belief over the past year that the Hezbollah leader was reluctant to get entangled in an all-out war. Is that still the case, do you think?
Yes, it is. What we're seeing is escalation on both sides. But this is not the same as full-scale war. Devastating as it is, this is not yet a full-scale war, and hopefully will not become one. Hezbollah is worried that full-scale war would ultimately not be in its interests. Iran is the same. Iran backs Hezbollah and also does not want to get involved directly in this fight. And as for Israel, full-scale war would come at great cost as well. So what we're seeing right now is a pushing of boundaries, more so than ever before, on both sides. But again, both remain mindful that they do not want to be dragged into full-scale war and are articulating this quite publicly as well.
So is it your belief then that an Israeli ground invasion, that that's not inevitable?
Yeah, I've been saying this again and again. It's not inevitable. In this war, we've heard a lot of charged statements, a lot of really huge threats being made by Hezbollah and Israel. And in a way, this is expected because this is warfare at the end of the day. Yes, it's not full-scale war, but it's still a very big fight. And each side will want to terrify the other as much as possible. So there has been a threat by Israel about a possible entry into Lebanon, as they described it, the Israeli army. But that does not mean that a ground invasion will happen, because this would come at a massive cost for Israel, because Hezbollah is very experienced in conducting asymmetrical warfare, basically on land.
Where does Gaza fit into the proposals being put forward by America, France and others? Because since the Israeli action started a week or so ago in Lebanon, I suppose many eyes around the world have turned away from Gaza.
Unfortunately, the situation in Lebanon is not going to be resolved in isolation from the situation in Gaza, and the situation in Gaza is nowhere near being resolved. I mean, it's now been almost a year since that conflict began, and despite several attempts at getting a ceasefire in place to hold, that has not been successful. So I would also lower my expectations regarding Lebanon. And I think, you know, any solution ultimately to this conflict needs to incorporate both the Lebanon side of the story and the Gaza side of the story.
Lena Khatib, Professor Lena Khatib, thank you very much for talking to us on the News at 1.